Acts chapter 27 tonight. Acts chapter 27. Everybody all right back there? Everybody's yawning and dozing off. Acts 27. Preaching on shipwreck tonight. No, Brother Dale, I didn't plan on this after our event today. If that's Brother Dale about that. We try to go fishing and we caught more water than fish. My boat's not made for two grown men in the back of the boat. Waves and going over the back of the boat. It was fun. It's in verse number 1. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttum, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus. I did practice these, but it's not coming out very well. And Macedonia, Thessalonica, being with us. And next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city of Lycia. And then the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against that word there, Nidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed into Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Haven, now whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. He said to them, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only in the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after they arose against it, a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. It's a good reason not, it's a good verse against letting women drive. We let her drive. Never mind. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive running under a certain island, which is called Clauda. We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought unto Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. I had all intentions of finishing out James tonight. And just one more message there in James and the Christian and his burdens. Close out chapter number 5. So today for a good while today, and I had planned on preaching there. Lord led me across this passage while studying in James, and I couldn't get away from it. The passage here in Acts grew and grew and kept getting bigger on me. I preached this passage before, not this message, preached this passage before. I've never preached it here. I'm going to do my best to do that tonight. This is a passage I'm sure you know. You've heard it many times before. I'm sure you've heard Paul's great shipwreck and the storm, the Euryclidon. We've heard about that before. But I want to focus in tonight on just one aspect of this passage. There's a lot of verses there and even more I could have read, but I didn't. A lot of things to cover, but I'm going to focus in on one thing tonight, and that's Paul. I'm going to preach on the voice in the storm. We all go through storms. Some are going through storms now, not just one. We have families all in our church going through storms. The devil is fighting our church. The devil is fighting my church. My people. God's people. And it makes me mad, to be honest with you. Mad at the devil. I'm going to do everything I can to be a help to you tonight, encourage you, try to challenge you tonight if I can. We all go through storms, some now, some maybe at different times. One thing that remains constant in those storms, no matter what the storm is, there's always a voice in the storm. That's what I'm going to try to prove to you tonight. Paul here is that voice in this story. Voice comes in many ways in our storms. The source of it all, hopefully, the source of the voice you're hearing is the Holy Spirit. We can read about a still small voice in Elijah's storm while he's running from his life, hiding in the cave. Still small voice of God came to him, brought him out of the cave, and told him to get back to work. Many times God will use people to carry that voice for you. I'm thankful for my pastor and my parents who have been that voice for me before. I've been many times Lord to use them to direct me and straighten me back out when I need to be straightened out, point in the right direction. Oftentimes it's a friend, maybe sometimes it's a pastor. I don't take that lightly, but it's more important than ever for me to be as close to God as I can, not for only for my sake, but to try to be a help to you. That's what God's placed on me. That's what I'm burdened about tonight. Whether that voice is the Holy Spirit directly talking to you, obviously not audibly, but through your prayer and studies, whether that Lord chooses me to be that voice here tonight, I don't know. Whether the Lord chooses somebody else, somebody in your family, parent, grandparent, friend, I don't know who the voice is going to come from. There's always a voice in the storm. I'm going to preach on that tonight. Listening to the voice in the storm. Number one, you study here, just start verse number 9 with Paul's admonishing. So in verse number 9, now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. He said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Paul is here simply trying to be a good, wise counsel, Christian counsel for these men here. Paul is a prisoner, but Paul is no punk. Paul has been here before. He's been on the sea before. He knows what he's looking at. He has some wisdom there. He says, you're headed for trouble, not only lading the ship, but also of our lives. Paul says, our lives are in, Paul telling the people there, the centurion, he says, you're endangering our life, my life. You're putting us in danger. We're probably not going to make it through this storm. He says, we're headed for trouble. How often does the Holy Spirit speak up? Not audibly, but he will poke you and prod your heart and try to correct you many times, try to point you in the right direction before you make a mistake. It's called conviction. I'm thankful for it. You would be wise to listen to it. The preacher just somehow, some way mentions the sin you've had on your mind. That's the Holy Spirit working. It's not the preacher, that's the Holy Spirit working. You better listen to it. I promise you, I'm not that smart. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. You'd be wise to listen to it. We see Paul's admonishing here. Number one, we see their ignorance to his admonishing. It says in verse number 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So the centurion completely ignores Paul, and Paul is the ship captain. Tonight, I'm going to look at Paul as a picture of the Holy Spirit. They completely ignored Paul here. I'm sure the centurion thought, well, it's their boat. He's the captain of the boat. They ought to know what it can handle. After all, what does Paul know? Paul's just a prisoner. There are a lot of people that want a friend. They want a mentor. They want the Holy Spirit leading, or they even want a pastor. And to that pastor, a friend, a mentor, the Holy Spirit points out a sin, and then they're done with them. They step back and say, oh, what do they know anyway? I'll listen to so-and-so. So they hear, say, what does Paul know anyway? He's just a prisoner. I'll listen to the captain of the ship. What does the Holy Spirit know anyway? We wouldn't say that out loud. At least I hope you wouldn't. We often say it in our minds, say in our actions, if nothing else. We see their ignorance. I don't care how much experience you think you have. The Holy Spirit knows more than you do, knows more than I do. And I'm thankful he does. He knows how to convict you. He knows how to pull and push. He knows what to do to correct you. We see their ignorance. We see their preference, verse number 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete and lies toward the southwest and northwest. He didn't listen to Paul, we see, because it was not commodious. That word commodious simply means it was inconvenient. You don't understand, Lord, it's inconvenient for me to do it that way. You don't understand, preacher, it's more convenient for me to do it this way and go about it my own way. Oh, I know what the Bible says, but this is just more convenient for me. You don't understand, Paul, it's not convenient for us to stop here. We better keep on going. I know I ought to go to the Lord in the storm. I know I ought to seek spiritual counsel. I ought to see what the Bible has to say about my problem. That's not convenient for me at this time. I know I ought to be patient, wait on God. You see, preacher, it's not convenient. How many times do we rush the Holy Spirit? How many times do we skip over the guidance of the Holy Spirit before he's able to correct us and be patient, wait on him? We see their preference. They chose what was convenient, chose what was quick and easy. We see their assumption, verse number 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had attained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Supposing they had attained their purpose, they assumed they were good to go now. The south wind blew softly. They said, oh, we're good to go now, Paul. It's okay. See, Paul, it all worked out. See, Holy Spirit, it all worked out. And you just worry too much. I got this all under control. Come on, Lord, I can handle this. I got this, Lord. Obviously, it worked out. The wind blew softly. It's just one little drink. It's just one little smoke. Just one relief for now. Just one little sin. You see, the south wind is blowing softly now. I can sit back and relax. I got this taken care of. So Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin may fix something for a minute. It's not going to last very long. They assumed they were okay now. Had short relief. It wasn't going to last very long. You may have temporary satisfaction. You may experience temporary relief, but it'll never last. Be careful. Listen to the Holy Spirit. We see His admonishing. We see His allegiance. Verse number 14. I'm going to read a few verses here. There's something missing out of this verse. I want you to look and see if you can find it. It says in verse number 14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And suddenly on a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands, attacking the ship. And when neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. We see a lot of stuff in these verses here. They had a lot of trouble, a lot of damage to the ship, a lot of work that had been done, throwing a lot of things off the ship, threw a lot of trials, a lot of stress and worry and anxiety, no doubt. What is missing in these verses here? No voice. There's no voice in these verses. In all seven of these verses, Paul is quiet. Paul has admonished them. He warned them. They didn't listen. Now they're in a storm, and Paul is quiet. You ever go through a storm? Let me back up. Is anyone in a storm right now, and you're looking for a voice? You're looking for some help somewhere, somehow, and you can't find it? I bet these men second-guessed themselves while they're in the storm. Maybe you should have listened to Paul after all, and they should have. Maybe he was right about this, yet we don't see Paul anywhere to be found. He may have been there working, but he's not saying a word. Let me ask you something. Where is he? Where is Paul here in these seven verses? He didn't jump ship. Paul's in the storm. He's on the ship. He hasn't got off. They haven't gotten to land, so they wouldn't be in this trouble. So where is Paul? He's on the ship with them. It was not Paul's job to stop and curse them in the middle of the storm and say, I told you so. Paul was just supposed to be there when the storm was over. Because in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It doesn't matter the storm. It doesn't matter if it's your own fault or if it's not. If it is your own fault, like it is these men's fault here, maybe it's not your own fault and you're just along for the ride. Either way, God promises to never leave thee nor forsake thee if you're saved. God's not going to quit on you. God's not in the quitting business. Got to encourage you not even to miss the storm if you're saved. The Holy Spirit's right there with you in the storm. You say, well, I don't hear him. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It says in Matthew 28:20, teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. In relation to that verse, David Livingston, the great missionary, said this. It is the word of a gentleman of the strictest and most sacred honor. And that's the end of it. There's no more discussion, nothing else to worry about. God promised that he would be there. He promised in Matthew that he was going to be there. He promised in Hebrews he was never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. There's nothing else to talk about, nothing else to worry about. Where is the Holy Spirit? He's with them in this one. Where is Paul at? He's right there on the ship with them, probably trying his best to help him along, probably throwing stuff off the boat too. We see his allegiance. He didn't leave him. We see his consolation, verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have to gain this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Notice Paul's message here. Yeah, you should have listened, but you didn't. But be of good cheer. He didn't dwell on it. He didn't beat a dead horse, if you will. He just moved right along. Aren't you thankful the Holy Spirit isn't around to bully us? He's not going to keep picking on your sin. Once it's forgiven, it's gone. Wiped away. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. If you get it right, it's over. It's done. And thankful God's in the forgiving business. Paul didn't dwell on it. He said, yeah, you should have listened. You didn't. God's got more for us here. It'll be a good lesson learned in marriage. You did wrong, but you're right now. Let's move on and get it over with. We like to dwell on things. But the deal's laughing over there. You get it right, move past it. Notice what else he says. Paul says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. There should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul says, good news, fellas, we're going to live, but the boat, well, not so much. You see, the point is here is consolation. Paul says, you did wrong, you should have listened, but that's okay, we're going to make it. Can I encourage you tonight, if you're saved, you're going to make it. It may not seem like it. It may not go the way you would want it to go. You're saved. Nothing can take that away. You're saved tonight. You're saved for eternity. Eternally saved. You can't go away. We see his consolation. Paul says, yes, we are in trouble. Yes, some bad things happen. Yes, we may lose the ship, but we're okay. We're going to take care of us. We see his advocacy in verse number 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe, God, it should be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. Paul says, good news, we're going to live. Bad news, the boat's not. He says, angel Lord came to him in the night, angel of God. Notice verse 24 again. Saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You realize what that verse is saying, what it means there. Angel says, Paul, you have a job to do. Holy Spirit says, Paul, I'm not done with you yet. You must be brought before Caesar, and because of that, you'll live. Not only that, because you need to live, every other man on the ship gets to live too. I wonder how many of us are still alive because of the voice. Because the voice that brought us through the storm. I told you earlier, the voice is often from somebody else. Sometimes maybe a pastor or a friend. I'm not saying this to try to boost myself up because I'm nothing. But I personally have a good pastor. I'm thankful for that. Thankful many times he was the voice God used in my life. How many times my life has been saved because of the voice and the storm. I wonder how many times I avoided complete and total ruin because the voice directed me and guided me in the way of the Lord. When I was younger, I was saved, but I didn't have everything together like I needed to be. I didn't do everything right. I had a lot of priorities out of whack, like I think most people do. Often the Holy Spirit directed me directly through reading and studying. Often as another man of God, Lord used place in my life to direct me and lead me. I told you Sunday morning about Brother Wesley Webb there in McBee, South Carolina. He's preaching, God called me to preach. I told you about over and over about my own pastor, teachers and Bible college pastors that instilled things in me forever be thankful for. How often have I avoided ruin because of the voices in the storm? Don't begrudge the voices God has placed in your life. I believe if it weren't for Paul on that ship, his men would perish in that storm. Thank God for the voice. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know we all have different storms, some big, some small. Some seem like they'll never end. Some end, some don't end. What I do know is that God is faithful. He's not going to leave us. And every time there's a storm in your life, there will always be a voice. Every time. There's never been a time in my life I need an answer from God. He hasn't some way, somehow, sent it through somebody or through something I read. May not always been when I thought I needed it, but it always came. May not been when I thought I should find it, but it always came. I'm thankful for the voice in the storm. You ought to listen to him. You'd be wise to heed the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes if you get it in time, the voice can help you avoid the storm, like it should have done here. Sometimes it help you get out of the storm, like it did here. It said in verse number 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It wasn't until after all their hope was gone, Paul started talking again. We need to quit depending on ourselves, quit depending on the choices we've made, like these men here, ship captains here, quit depending on our own intellect and our own abilities to make it through the storm, start trusting the Lord, start looking for the voice, start trying to find help, start following the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding, start listening for the still small voice. I promise you, if you're saved, God will never leave you. If you look for him, he's there. It wasn't until they gave up hope that the voice came up. Listen to the voice in the storm. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you for blessing us like you have. Lord, I pray use us here in Jesus' name.